You are listening to the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast. Your host is Elder Ron, the Drunk Mormon Missionary. Every week he gets drunk and brings you the Drunk Mormon Gospel. His word is the drunken word of God. So sit back, pour yourself a drink and enjoy.
All right. Go ahead and say something.
Say something. Hey, you know what I like?
What?
How we both got weird paintings behind us.
That's not a weird painting. That's my wife's painting. Ah!
Dude, look at mine.
Let's see. Let me look at where. Yeah, that's Quick's painting, dude. Right there.
No, I said look at mine.
I looked at yours. You have a monkey and a chicken.
Yeah, do you get it?
I have a fucking bull back there.
Well, mine's a cock and a pussy.
The monkey's not a pussy. Is it, you're not from the
South, motherfucker. Down there in New Orleans, they call pussy monkey.
They do? I don't know that.
Yes. And so this painting used to be hung above my mantle when I was with a girl from Alabama. And her mom walked in and said, "Oh my God, you have a dick and a fucking pussy above your mantle." And I said, "Yes, we do, bitch. Thank you for teaching your daughter."
All right, well, you're listening to the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast right now, and you got my friend Chris right now talking about pussy and monkey down in the South. I'm recording this shit right now, Chris.
Well, good shit. What's the topic of the night?
Well, let's talk about, what do you know about Mormonism?
What do I know about Mormonism? The women, just very interestingly, they're like, peel us out of this shell. Because I know they're a pile of horniness. And the men, as far as I know, they act very prude. But they are the biggest fucking consumers of pornography out there, which is just sad.
I'm not going to discount that.
It reminds me of the Bible Belt out in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
You know, those, like, really prudy types that are actually the freakiest out there.
Yeah. All into that freaky sex. Yeah. Go on.
I don't know, bro. I'm not a goat fucker.
Well, God blesses you for not being a goat fucker. That's the only reason for prophets, is to preach the good word about don't fuck goats.
Yeah, a lot of right? those people, though, they joke about fucking goats and sheep, and that's very disturbing. It's mainly disturbing because I date their sisters and daughters. And then I start to wonder.
Have you ever dated a Mormon girl?
You ever jerk off too much and your dick starts to get raw, but then suddenly you're like, "Ooh, did I catch something?" And then you're at the doctor's, and the doctor's like,
"Quit jerking off.
Having sex with." And I'm like, "Nobody, bro. There hasn't been a good catch. I've been jerking off a lot." And they're like, "How often?" You're like, "Five times a day." Like, "Are you using any lube?" "No. I wanted to bust fast."
Holy shit.
The doctor looks at you and goes, "It's not the Mormons, and it's certainly not the Christians. You're masturbating too much." And I go, "Cool. Would you happen to have a young daughter?"
Amen. Amen, my brother. Amen. Amen. Thus saith the Lord.
Actually, I prefer a woman, but, you know, whatever.
the podcast for Drunk Mormon Missionary was supposed to go along the lines. We're about to get into Book of Mormon stories, but I think I'm just going to, like, tonight, or, like, for this podcast, I'm just going to, like, random people on Facebook and try to interview them just about random shit. And this was a good interview. This is my friend Chris from Sorrow Man. He's a burner. And you just got back from Europe, right?
Yes.
A little while ago. You had a good trip. You went to Italy?
I went to Italy, Germany, Netherlands, back to Germany, and back to Europe, back to Italy.
How long were you on your trip?
I was out there for a month.
Yeah? Yeah. So what was tell me, I mean, you probably had, like, a lot of cool experiences. You were basically, what did you do? You were hitchhiking? Did you take the train? How did you get around?
I went out there with a backpack and a pile of money.
Uh-huh.
Pretending I had no money, being myself as a street artist.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting reception.
How did that go, being a street artist out in Europe?
The Mormon girls were not throwing pussy at me. It was very upsetting.
No.
I really expected the Mormon girls, because I just left a Mormon girl from Northeast Arizona to just, like, throw it at me. And I was going to be like, hey, I got double condoms, you dirty fucks. But, no, I mean, it was great, man. I went out there. I played lots of music. I fucking painted the streets. I am not particularly a graffiti artist. But when I got out to Europe, I just felt like tagging everything. And it went well.
Yeah?
You know, I really like Europe. Mainly, I like that you could drink anywhere, anytime, in public.
Yeah. What was, I mean, I'm sure you had a lot of, like, really cool, memorable experiences. Would you, care to share one of those experiences?
All right. So there I was doing a renegade fire dance in the middle of the park at, like, 11 o'clock at night over off Blessenstrasse in Berlin. And I had started feeding myself and my friend some mushrooms. And out of nowhere, this little Asian girl that I met in Amsterdam showed up that I thought I freaked out. And she was like, hey, I want to hang out with you guys. And she had 1, 2 bottles of wine. And we're in the park, and it's midnight. So I dip my gas, and I do my fire dance. And I imagine it was beautiful. But when I stop and I look up, there's these two sexy ass fucking blonde German girls. And they're like, hey, would you come party with us? Fuck yeah. So we go over to their party, and they're having a birthday party. And they hand me a bottle of champagne, and they hand my two friends each a bottle of champagne and said, let's rage. I said, oh, you're in trouble. That's the last thing I remember.
Where'd you wake up after that?
I woke up in my friends and my homegirl's arms, and they said, you know what? Those people were in trouble. In the meantime, I was eating copious amounts of mushrooms, so I never fell asleep.
Are mushrooms easy to get in Europe?
Beating off on Skype to some girl in the U.S.
Oh, no. That's anticlimactic. I mean, like, literally. Are mushrooms easy to get in Europe?
I don't know. I took mine with me.
Oh, okay. All right.
In Amsterdam, they are. They have smart shops. It's called a smart shop. And that's the mushroom store.
All
All right.
Okay. Chris, it's good talking with you, man. Are you going to be at Sorora Man this year? Or you got, or do you got other adventures planned?
I should be taking over center camp and fucking help run camp first place, bro.
Yeah,
you're in
definitely.
For it because you're down the block from us.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, if you thought you were in trouble when I was fucking two blocks away from you, just remember to bring my bullhorn. It's
I'm going to have to, like, get you your own bullhorn, I think, what I'm going to have to do. I tell you what, I think I have a bullhorn to gift you next Sorora Man. Definitely. I'm gonna have to gift you a bullhorn. I think you deserved it, like, after last year. So.
Hey, because I steal it and it's still safe when you show up. Like,
no, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Matter of fact, the one that you stole from me, or borrowed from me, I should say, went to Burning Man this year, and it's all fucked because it, like, the playa just fucked it. Like, I have to get a new one. But luckily, like, I have two or three of them, so.
I'm glad my spittle made it to Burning Man.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man.
I was fucking pissed I didn't make it.
All right.
Are you going next year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have Burnable Art coming. I'm going to do a, how long? It's like, I have Burnable Art that I'm bringing again. I'm going to do a tank this year that's like about, shit, I think it's like, it's going to be pretty big. I'm like, I got the plans down for it. It's going to be about 7 feet. Well, I mean, not like too high. It's going to be about 7 feet high, but it's going to be like about from like nose to end about 15 feet long, and it's going to burn. It's going to be cool. Yeah.
Well,
cool.
We'll hang out.
Yeah, definitely.
Your tank won't be high, but I might make you too high.
All right. I'm going to move on because I got other people on the Facebook that I'm going to interview tonight for this podcast. So it's good talking to you, Chris. Peace out.
Have fun. And remember, Mormons like to fuck in the ass.
Because Jesus don't know. That's always,
yeah.
that's the truth.
No,
you take
Jesus
in the ass. Unless you're gay, then Jesus gets really mad if you take in the ass. But if you're straight, Jesus don't know. That's always,
yeah.
That was the rule when I was 16 anyway. Growing up Mormon.
Love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
You will.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye. All right. I was my friend Chris from... He's in my Burning Man community. All right, I'm going to pause this. I'm going to try and find somebody else to get on to the Drunk Mormon Missionary podcast. I'll be right back. So I'm randomly trying to call people on my Facebook to get them on the podcast tonight. We're kind of taking a break from Book of Mormon stories and shit like that for this podcast.
Hello?
Madison, hi.
Hi.
This is Elder Rung. You are on the podcast right now. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Where are you at?
I am at my house in Portland.
You're in Portland. So Madison is my Burning Man friend, originally from Provo, who now lives in Portland, Oregon. Hi.
Hi.
So... we're recording this right now. Do I have your consent? Consent
yes.
Is sexy. If I didn't have your consent, I would just go back and just like delete all this.
Yeah, you have my consent.
All right, I'm pretty drunk right now.
Excellent.
All right. So Madison grew up. Because this is the Drunk Mormon Missionary podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is Drunk Mormon Missionary Stories. Do you have any, because you grew up in Provo, right?
I grew up like an hour south of Provo, but I lived in Provo for about 8 years.
You lived in,
years.
And as a non-Mormon, right?
Yeah.
Like
as a
non-Mormon weirdo, basically,
yeah.
In Utah County.
Basically.
Yeah. What was that like? Like, what was it like being... Tell me about your experiences of Utah County. Do you have any do you want to share with the listeners tonight?
I was actually just talking to a friend about this earlier because I've had a really good time in Portland because nobody has harassed me about anything yet.
Uh-huh.
Since I've been here. There's this weird thing that happens in Utah County that I don't encounter other places where people will just touch my tattoos or my hair without permission and then like comment on it and try to make like funny comments about not being able to get into heaven or things like that. Just like in the grocery store.
Like in the grocery store? So they'll like touch your tattoos and your hair?
Yep. It's mostly BYU students.
It's BYU students?
Pretty much always, yeah.
So it's not like really it's not like old men in army fatigues going like, oh wow, look at that, blue hair, right?
No, it's usually people in their early 20s who should know a lot better.
So why do you think they're, why do you, okay, so you're in Portland and that doesn't, that shouldn't happen because pretty much everybody has blue hair and tattoos in Portland, right?
Yeah, basically.
Basically.
Yeah.
What's the deal then, do you think, with BYU students and why they feel like they have to touch your tattoos and your hair without consent?
That's a good question. I have noticed that the culture there is very entitled, you know. And that's a, you know, obviously a product of, like, American culture as a whole. But especially if you look at Mormon culture, kind of what kids are taught being brought up is that they'll grow up and they'll get a wife or a husband and they'll get a family and they'll get all of these blessings and things. Like, they feel like that's owed to them, you know. I'm just wondering if maybe they feel like, you know, they have the moral high ground over people who are not of their faith, and that I don't know if it's like they don't have any real world consequences for doing that kind of stuff.
Is it coming out of a place of curiosity or of I'm drunk. I can't pronounce words. Condescension or condemnation?
That's also a good question. I've had a few people be just like genuinely curious and ask, but they're not usually the ones who are disrespectful or outright rude or make snarky comments, you know. It's usually like a kind of a condescending attitude and a sort of like, you know, that's not a good thing to do to yourself, right? And it's, you know, that kind of stuff. Does that make sense?
I never lived in Utah County. Utah County fucking, even when I, like, even in my Utah days, mm-hmm. Utah County, like, trips me the fuck out.
Yeah, it's a trip. It is, right now, a huge issue there is the way that BYU deals with sexual assault.
Uh-huh.
Usually, the victim, the person on the receiving end of the assault, gets in trouble for having engaged in, like, sexual activity, and therefore they get a warning or kicked out of school due to violating BYU's honor code. That's a pretty big thing there right now, especially.
Is there backlash that's happening in Provo about... I know what you're talking about. I've read the articles about sexual assault victims mm-hmm. attending BYU basically being afraid of coming forth and prosecuting the perpetrators of their sexual assault because of the BYU standard codes and the morality standards coming down hard on the victims rather than on the people on the assaultants, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a bit of backlash. There's angry people. There's a couple of people fighting back. But ultimately, it's not a big enough or widely understood or known enough thing. I don't know if it's the people are don't care or if they're scared to be seen supporting this or not, but it's, I don't think there's enough of an outcry that anything's going to change, unfortunately.
Social media seems to be having kind of a backlash on this, though, lately.
Yeah, they are. It's just, from what I see, it's not big enough to become a real problem for BYU as an institution or the Mormon Church as an institution. If that makes sense, there's not any, unless they somehow get in legal trouble for it, I don't know that the social media outrage is going to have an effect. Because there's no, once again, just in Utah, for a lot of Mormon organizations or Mormon people, there's just no real consequence for the behavior.
Yeah.
They're not going to lose anything over it.
Yeah. To change the topic a little bit, not that this is an important topic, it very much is, but I mean, like, this topic, like, to me is always very troubling about the concept of consent, the concept of not the concept, the truth of consent is kind of the way I like to, and in a lot of ways how, like, at BYU and with these chastity type of standards where they end up victimizing the victim even more through these things are very, I mean, it's very troublesome and very fucked up in a lot of different ways.
Uh-huh.
Where am I going with this? I'm drunk. So this is the drunk Mormon missionary. So, like, my thoughts are going to wander and I won't pronounce words very well because I've been drinking a lot of absinthe tonight.
I mean, it's a bit of a serious subject for the podcast.
It's an important one, but I definitely, sometimes when I'm sober, this is one to address and maybe to find like people who are, I don't know, are affected by, I don't know where I'm going with this.
What else did you have in mind?
What was I gonna ask you? Utah. Oh, I know where I wanted to go. Talk about the maybe the counterculture in Provo and Utah County and what that was like living there, because you would have been kind of a, definitely, I mean, like, with being a Burner, because that's where I know you from, is from Burning Man, and it's where I've fallen in love with you, and I think you're just amazing and wonderful, but talk about, like, the counterculture in Provo and Utah County.
So, what's that like? Counterculture in Utah County, and Utah County as a whole, it's really interesting because it's such a direct answer to the conservative culture of Mormonism, you know? So it's really funny where everyone involved in the counterculture, so many people feel like they have to make these statements about how liberal and how hardcore they are and make sure that people know they are not Mormon. Like, I think my favorite example is how silly the band they used is. They're just so silly.
I'm not familiar with the band, so go ahead and...
They're terrible. And don't worry about
no,
it.
No, no, no. Like, plug them a bit. Plug them. It's not like they're getting a whole lot. I only have, like, 30 listeners to this podcast who actually give a shit.
I mean, they're not a good band. It's just funny. They were really popular back when, like, Screamo was popular, so when I was in high school. And it was just funny that they would have to make such statements that, you know, they're from Utah, but they're definitely not Mormon. And they would have to try to do everything harder than everybody else. Like, Mormon kids that party have to party, like, so hard to make up for it. You don't get a lot of people in the middle ground. You get, you know, the very conservative Mormon kids, and then you have the party kids who are just, like, insane. Like... the counterculture there really overdoes everything, which sometimes is good, but is sometimes kind of silly.
So I spent most of my counterculture day in Ogden,
mm-hmm.
which seemed to be pretty, I don't know, it was kind of funny. Like, Ogden's not definitely the percentage of Mormonism like Utah. So Provo and Utah County is like what, 98% Mormon?
I think it's closer to like
78% now.
Yeah, it's a lot less, especially with there being the like secular public university there now.
Uh-huh.
Because there's another one in the city adjacent to Provo. Yeah, Ogden is odd for Utah. It doesn't quite have the same culture and makeup as the rest of the state.
Mormonism, being in Ogden, like, Mormonism never factored in for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, except for, like, my family. None of my friends were Mormon. I mean, like, we all knew about Mormonism. We would make fun of it and stuff like that. But there was never really this feeling of, like, at least for me, of, like oppressive outsider type of feeling, you know. And Mormon, Ogden's got a very strong blue-collar feel to it. It's also got... very, very strong minority culture there as well, as opposed to, I think, Provo and Utah. That is very white and Mormon and middle class when it kind of comes down to it. So, I don't know.
Yeah. That's the place I'm actually from is a small town about 70 miles south of Provo that it was kind of a weird culture shift because even though I was in a much bigger city in Provo, it was almost like it was somehow more conservative than where I grew up, because where I grew up, everyone's farmers and miners, and, like, construction workers, you know. Religion had its place there, and there were kind of some of the same issues you see throughout Utah, but ultimately it didn't quite have the same... like, extreme sort of conservative base that Utah County does.
So how are you doing? How are you enjoying the cultural shift of Portland, having moved
it's
there?
It's so nice.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a few good things that have come out of the Mormon culture in Utah. The importance of community there, I think, is really cool. You know, a lot of times, like, people are really into helping each other out there, that I know is kind of a product of the Mormon culture. Family is really important there. So if that's, like, something that you're looking for, then it's a good place for that. But, just being a person who... isn't, you know, settled down and looks pretty weird for Utah, being somewhere else is really nice. Being somewhere more liberal is good.
All right. Well, this is my friend Madison. who is living in Portland now, but she's originally from Provo. Madison's really awesome. She's like one of my burner crushes from Burning Man. And you're listening to the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast. I'm going to see if I can find some other people. Thanks for talking with us, Madison. I love you.
Yeah, of course.
Love you. I miss you. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So I'm going to continue the... it's kind of an experiment in terms of this podcast where I'm trying to interview people I know on Facebook about their experiences with being Mormon or having grown up in Utah, Provo, whatever. So the next interview that I have here is kind of interesting. This is coming from my friend Jody, who is a listener to this podcast. I've never met Jody like face to face, but since I've been doing this podcast, I have kind of been becoming friends with her. She's been a big supporter of the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast. Now, Jody has a hearing and a speech impairment. So what we've come up with, instead of trying to do a kind of a live or a live-ish feed off of like the Facebook phone app, what I'm doing is I'm asking her questions through the chat, Facebook chat. And so I'm going to kind of read my questions and my responses to her. She's given me permission to go ahead and record myself doing this. So let's start here about my questions to her about her growing up Mormon. And I'll just kind of read our conversation, which may be interesting. I hope it's interesting to me. So that's all that matters. Because I do this podcast for me, first and foremost. So I start with, asking you about, with you joining the LDS Church. When were you born into the, faith, or were you a convert? And then Jody replies, I was BIC, which is born in church. And I was forced to be baptized at age 8. I was born in 1963, and I was not allowed to talk back to my parents at all. So I was baptized when they said I had to be. I was scared, and I didn't want to, but I couldn't tell them that. And so I replied with, I was also baptized at 8 years old. I don't quite remember my own feelings about it myself. It seems to me that it was more about tradition than it was about conviction for me. And Jody replies with, yeah, I don't know if I even knew that I had a choice or even if I did have a choice. And then I asked Jody, what was it like for you growing up Mormon? And she replies, my parents were very strict and more strict than other Mormons that I knew. I never felt loved or cherished. I always hated sacrament meeting. It was so boring, and I didn't mind. And I didn't mind primary when I was very young, but started hating it when I was about 10. I also started realizing that girls and boys were treated and valued very differently around age 10. My parents had their fifth child when I was 11. I already felt like...
What were some of the things you remember about being Mormon
that you had issues with?
I wasn't treated like everyone else.
I was the oldest daughter. Misogyny.
And my dad was the only one of seven girls that learned how to cook before I was
married. I noticed a difference between my friends and I. Also between my brother and I. It was really unfair in my mind, and probably most would feel that way. And I resented both of my parents for acting like that. It was very self-serving. And then she talks about the beers kicking in. It is the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast.
So that's awesome. I definitely encourage drinking while listening to this podcast. Lots and lots of drinking. It's probably the only way you're going to be able to get through my podcast is by being as drunk as I am. All right. I talk about absinthe. Drinking lots of absinthe tonight. I asked Jody, did you marry in the temple? And Jody says, no, but a good story there. I was never allowed to play or visit or talk to friends on Sunday. We had to wear our Sunday dresses all day and read scriptures after church. I don't know anyone else that had that rule. Yeah, we didn't have that rule when I was growing up. I was California Mormon, though. Like, we went to church, and then we came home from church. And generally, I was able to, I think, I kind of have the memory of being able to get into my play clothes and, like, you know, go do shit with my friends or whatever, go ride my bike or whatever. I think sometimes, like, it just kind of depended. Like, sometimes my parents were like, all right, we're going to try and keep the Sabbath day holy. So, yeah. And other times it was like, I kind of grew up like when my parents split up when I was 12. My dad was basically Jack Mormon. So, like, going to church, living with my dad after 12 was kind of like, it was on me because he never went to church. So sometimes I went to church, sometimes I didn't. Kind of, like, for me, kind of just depended on, I don't know, what my friends were doing. And kind of, like, if I was dating a Mormon girl, I have to admit, at the time or not, and I wanted to hang out with her at church or not. But, hey, that was me. Let's see. Let's go on with the Jody story here. I really resented the whole Mormon way of doing things, and I wasn't sure I wanted to live that way or I believed in it. And when I was 18, I finally could choose not to go to church every week. I started skipping here and there. And then they asked me to be a primary teacher for my little sister's class. And so I did that, but sometimes just went for that. So they all give you a calling and guilt you into going when you don't want to go. I was engaged to two return missionaries. The first one, I was 22 and he was a very nice boy. He was 21. I only knew him for like 3 months. Then he proposed and I felt pressured to say yes and pressured to marry. The engagement only lasted a few months. I just couldn't go through with it. I told him I was not ready and we broke up. He called me about a year later from college and asked me if I had decided that if I was ready yet. He said he had grown up and was better with money and more responsible, so we wouldn't be really poor, blah, 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 but I declined. I hadn't seen or heard from him for a year. Yeah, that's kind of a weird proposal. I'm glad that didn't work out. When they make fun of RMs for choosing a wife by saying, you'll do, this is why. He said he had met another girl and that would do, but he wanted to make sure that I hadn't changed my mind. So, I guess since he had prayed about marrying me before I had got to a yes and asked me, then that made him wrong. So, yeah, I didn't feel very special or like he loved me or cared about me. She asks me if I want to know about the second engagement to a return missionary, and I said, yes, please, absolutely. So, the story of Jody's second return missionary proposal. I knew him when I worked at ZCMI when I was in high school, and I even went to one of his high school plays. He was also a year younger. He was just back from his mission, and I ran into him at a dance club in Salt Lake City. And over 18, but no drinking dance club. We dated about 2 months, and he proposed, and I said yes. I thought I really liked him. I kind of want to go visit one of these days. I need to go to one of these non-drinking dance clubs in Salt Lake City. I've never done that. all the dance clubs and all the bars I've been to have been real bars in Salt Lake City where you get very drunk. And then you have to figure your way back to Ogden, which can be kind of a hassle when you're drunk. Anyway, usually I was the designated driver for my friends when we would go do that. But got to hear some pretty cool bands in Salt Lake when I was in Ogden. He started being rude about my mom, and that pissed me off. I don't think she is a good person, but he crossed the line. Then he wanted to postpone the wedding, and I couldn't figure out why. Then he finally came clean to me and said he couldn't get a temple recommend. He was addicted to porn, and so he couldn't get one. Oh, my God, I was shocked. His dad was stake president. Porn addiction. I guess there's a thing, but who? I don't know. I just, porn's not that big of a deal. When you're not a Mormon, porn is not that big of a deal. I mean, depending on the porn. As long as it's like Playboy or like Hustler or something kind of normal, who cares, right? Who gives a fuck? My opinion, anyway. I'm seeing lots of porn. So his parents thought that I was the one who couldn't get a temple recommend. And I could. And they blamed me, and he let them go ahead and think it was me. So this kid was kind of a douchebag. Yeah, so we broke up, and I was done with return missionaries at that point. Don't blame me, Jody. I just always felt like I had to do what my parents expected. And and she just couldn't do it. So I ask, who did you finally marry? I met him when I was 28, and he said he had been baptized, but his mom later told me that he hadn't been. He lied, since in Utah it's very hard for non-Mormons to date or even have friends. It's sad because he's a very selfish person. I was used to my very selfish parents that seemed normal to me. He lied about a lot of things. I got pregnant after 10 months of dating, and I moved in with him a few months later. We had our son in February 2010. And then I asked, when did you leave the Mormon church? We weren't married yet, so that bishop where we lived came over to our house. And when we answered, he walked right in and basically called me a slut. We kicked him out. I would too. That's a bunch of bullshit. After the second engagement, we called it off and I just quit going. I went once in a while for something special, but I hated it. I had helped raise 8 of my siblings, so knowing that I'd be kicked out of the family put a lot of pressure on me to keep one foot in. I just kept one foot in for years, but over time, not being exposed to the brainwashing, I really realized how full of shit the whole thing is. That asshole that yelled at me wouldn't let me have my son blessed, so I just have it done with my parents' home, with their bishop, and that was what we did. But even though they say they believe in following the law of the land, they don't. They made me have him blessed with my maiden name, so that's not following the law. The law says I can name him anything, even Rumpelstiltskin, and that's his name. So they don't follow that one. And when they can, out with a policy a year ago today about the children of gay couples being excluded, well, I knew that they felt since my son had been excluded since I wasn't married. I wanted to do my resignation letter at the mass resignation, but I couldn't go, so I haven't done it yet. I have a lot of friends who actually did their resignation letters during the mass exodus of the kids not being included if you have gay parents bullshit about a year ago. So my resignation letter personally went in. I don't know. I've been non-Mormon now for about 15 years.
So my story of my resignation letter was I actually kind of did it on a dare. I was dating a woman in Utah who was non-Mormon, and she was bitching a whole lot about how Mormons treat her there. And I was like, well, I'm not a Mormon. They don't, like, give me shit. And she told me, she said, but you're not really a non-Mormon. You haven't, like, wrote your letter in yet. And so you're just an actual Mormon. So you get, like, a lot more kudos and shit like that living in Utah. And she's all, like, write your letter and, like, see what it's like being a non-Mormon. I thought that was an interesting experiment. So I went ahead and wrote my I'm no longer a Mormon letter into Salt Lake. And was I treated differently? I definitely empathized a lot more with, like, my non-Mormon friends in Utah about what it's like being a non-Mormon. I can't really say that it was, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. I can't really say that it was entirely life-changing or anything like that, but I had some experiences, like, pissed me off about that whole process of, like, taking my names off of the record books. Like, for instance, like, I was pretty specific about, like, about things about, like, please don't contact my family and don't contact me. And the bishop of the ward where I was living did both. He, like, called contact my mom. He was living in California at the time. How he got her number, I have no fucking clue. But he contacted my mom, who called me and was pretty upset. Luckily, I got pretty good parents. Like, I love my folks a lot. And my mom was, she kind of handled it in a good way. She was upset at first, and then she was just like, all right, I love you. Let's just not talk about this ever again. And I'm all like, okay, cool. So, so my mom kind of buried her head in the sand, and that was that. And then when the bishopric came to my house, I was renting an apartment underneath my mom's new home. So they had bought a home in Utah. I was renting the apartment underneath their house. And my folks were still in, my mom and my stepdad were still in California. So the bishopric came over claiming to look for my parents. I was like, well, my folks have been in California for the past, like, 2 months. You know this. And they're like, oh, yeah. That's right. We forgot. Oh, by the way, we happen to have gotten your letter from Salt Lake about you wanting to leave the church. I'm like, oh, fuck. You guys just fucking lied to me. Why don't you just, like, fucking say, hey, we got your letter? No, they fucking lied. And they were like, oh, we're looking for your folks. It's like, no, you're not. You're looking for me. Anyway, they were like, are you sure this is what you want to do? I'm like, fuck yeah. This is what I want to do. Like, go away. So they did. And that was that. But they fuck it. The bishopric lied to me. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Anyway. Let's continue with Jody's story here. All right, so anyway, that's Jody's story of leaving the Mormon church. All right, this has been kind of an interesting podcast. I may do more of these where I, like, talk to people on Facebook and try to get their stories, whatever they may be. I'm really drunk. I still have half a pint of absinthe I got to get through. But we're probably going to call it a night and kind of be done with it. Eric is snoring in the other room. I can hear him right now. Let's see if we can hear Eric. That's something Eric has got. Like, He sounds like a fucking train when that guy sleeps. Hopefully this was kind of, this is an interesting experiment. I might do this every so often and talk with people, but we'll get back into Book of Mormon stories coming up on the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast probably next week. Kind of dragging my feet about. No, I'm not really dragging my feet. I'm just trying to figure out interesting things to talk to you about while I'm really fucking drunk. Anyway, I probably should go to bed and get some sleep. You guys fucking rock, my listeners and my friends. Rock on. I got the little rock on hand going right now. So fucking rock on. Like, do your thing. Be cool. Love one another. That's a good message. Love one another. And all that type of jazz. In the name of Bob, I bless you all. Amen. All right. Talk to you guys later. Next podcast coming up next week.